It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Welcome to On the Tee Florida on this spectacular August 24th. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation.
Better.
Joined by John Rieger and, of course, Bill Butner coming south from North Carolina. Two pros in the Hack. And then, of course, St. Pete's most interesting man, as I like to label him, the great Tom Gribben, author, attorney, promoter.
Oh, more than that. More than that. Keep going. Keep going.
Rambling man. That's correct.
That's correct.
Back from Denver.
I missed you guys.
Well, I was here.
I missed Bill Butner. He made it down last week, and I'm in Colorado. And the next thing I know, he calls, "Do we have a show?" And so I apologize, but you had some wings today. Yeah. You got to see a Rays victory across the street. We're at Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by our great friends at Ice Pick Vodka, and of course now Michelob Ultra, sponsoring all of our activities.
Fantastic.
Yep, we got.
I'm drinking Chris, one right now.
Chris Lewis and the gang, and we're looking forward to a lot of great things. And a lot of great things come out of St. Augustine Beach, and that is my man John Rieger, and he's. Taking time to join us for a couple hours and keep this this show on the road. What's up, brother?
Hey, well, we got a complete laundry list of things to talk about today. It's good to be back. I felt like we haven't been on the air for about 3 months, but it's only been a week. I miss you guys and looking forward to a great show this week because one of the key things we're going to be able to listen to is your tales from your personal on-site visit to the U.S. Amateur at Cherry Hill, Denver, Colorado, last week. You gave me some preliminary chat about it on our pre-show prep discussion, and pretty remarkable how you just kind of sauntered right into the whole place, and all of a sudden you were king of the hill for a day.
I brought proof to the boys so they could see that I was drinking Coors. You know, Coors Light. Here comes Kerry McNally, of course, our entertainment guru. We've got the whole gang here with the exception of Patty Suzette. But that we'll talk a little bit about that. That was enjoyable. And just a couple weeks prior, Tom Gribben had been in Denver, and it's always great to go out to Colorado.
I was out there playing the Denver Country Club. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's name dropping on me. But the DCC is a very cool spot.
Mark Messier said to say hello to you.
Is he a member?
He was a guest or something. He was there at the bar with me.
Well, hey, if we're going to go there, Cherry Hills, we have Peyton Manning showed up on Sunday's final session. And, of course, the great John Elway and Mike Shanahan of the Denver Broncos, they're members there. And Sir Charles made an appearance during the NBA Finals.
Oh, Lord.
So we'll talk a little bit about that. But it's good to see you, Mr. McNally. Thank you for gracing us with your presence today. Oh, I might want to turn you on there.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
What's happened?
That's my really weak Charles Barkley impression. It's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible.
Well, his articulation is a bit questionable from time to time, but I love Sir Charles. So today, I just figured, as John said, don't really have any guests. I figure we have guests since we haven't been on the air, and What better variety when we got a PGA pro? We've got a gentleman that's
BB squared,
precisely
the house.
Tom, and then John Rieger, as I said,
to keep us
on the rails. A lot going on though, John. Of course, right now it's a final stop on the FedEx Cup Championships, the Tour Championships in Atlanta at East Lake, and I'm looking at that leaderboard, and things have tightened up.
Well, it's very interesting because the way they start the tournament, based on how you finish in the FedEx Cup standings, will determine how many under par that you start out the day with. And Scottie Scheffler, he got to start out the day, I believe, a 10 under par. And he's only one under today. And all of a sudden, here comes Colin Morikawa, started at one under par, shot 9 under. So he's only one shot back at minus 10. Keegan Bradley was minus three, but as his FedEx kept standing head start, and he got shot 7 under today for 63. So there's some low numbers going on out there right now. And if you don't get out there and shoot something in the mid 60s today, you're going to get, as they say, that famous song, Blue Bayou. You'll be just out of here if you're not in the mid 60s.
Blue Bayou and Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt, well done, sir.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I guess since you brought that up, I want to go that direction. I want Bill Buttner's opinion. You know, even the guys that are getting those 10 strokes, they do not like this format. On the final 70 guys, you go down to 50, then you go to 30, and then the biggest event, which is, you know, this weekend at East Lake, and there's Scheffler, who doesn't need 10 strokes, getting, you know, he's 10 under. That's pretty astonishing, and John Rahm definitely has a dislike for it.
Well, I know the players really got upset starting even, having earned those
FedEx points
throughout the year, and then all of a sudden come to the last event and everybody starts it even for the big purse. So that's how it all started.
I guess the question would be, what is the fair formula? Do you do it separately? Which they do. I mean, you can win this tour championship this week, and you get, like Tiger did several years ago, and you're going to get a trophy for that. And then the accumulated points, you'll get the FedEx Cup championship for the year. But I just don't understand this format of a tournament with that big a handicap. You see what I'm saying?
I think the main thing is they want the leaders on Sunday to be able to win the tournament as well as the FedEx Cup itself.
Which makes sense, I guess.
But that's been happening organically, right?
Well, in previous years, you had a player that won the tournament, but the FedEx player winner, FedEx.
Like Rory McIlroy, you know?
Come on.
And he finished fifth.
Sounds like everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Bill, I got a question for you, Bill.
Yes, sir.
If you started every tournament out in your PGA Tour career at 10 under par, would you have won any?
Oh my gosh! I mean, I'd have made a lot more cuts. I can tell you that.
You wouldn't be slamming. You wouldn't be slamming that trunk and throwing those clubs in there, would you?
Not on Friday afternoon.
If I started every relationship at 10 under, I will have been married 4 times.
You weren't married 4 times?
No, I'm on the first. This is it.
He's 3 over on this marriage.
Actually, 4. Well, you should have heard what happened today.
That's why
I was late.
Double bogey.
I'm two under, and I assure you, I'm not going 3 under or 3 over, however you want to look at it. And if I did, I'd probably be 6 foot under. But
two-stroke penalty just to get out of the house today.
Good. I like that one.
So John, you are a proponent of this or not?
Well, it's interesting how they came up with the formula when they first started the FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, and my goodness, it's been, I think, almost 20 years now that they've had the playoffs. And it seemed very NASCAR-ish. You know, it seemed like, okay, exactly. You know, we're going to have the, you know, and even NASCAR, when they went to, like, their playoff system, it seemed kind of hokey. So, you know, it's kind of grown on people, I guess. And obviously, when you have a sponsor like FedEx to be able to put up all that money and how you would go about doing it. But one of the really interesting things about it was I was reading about Tiger Woods, who I think it was 2006 or 7, he won the World Championship. He won the FedEx Cup. And what they used to do is take most of the money and defer it. So, like, he couldn't collect his winnings, all that money, until he was 45 years old. Well, then the tour figured out real quick that if he went on to win like 3 or 4 or 5 of these things, you know, they'd owe him $1 billion by the time he was 45. So they went back and they redid everything. So they put a little deferred money. I think if you win, you'll win $17 million. You'll get $1 million put in your deferred player pension plan. But it is interesting how they have NASCAR'd this thing and made it where it's kind of gimmicky to me when you start putting 10 under par to start the tournament with. I don't know about that. I just think, you know, start out everybody even, let them work their points all throughout the year. Maybe the last tournament counts for a bunch more points than all the other ones and make it more exciting there. But, yeah, it gets to the point that you look at it and it looks like, well, gosh, you know, there's no way Scottie Scheffler can lose this tournament. But he's already only one shot in the league now, so looks like, you know, he could finish 20th place or something, even starting at 10 under par.
And the last thing they want, the tour wants, is to have, I hate to pick on players, but to get Grillo,
a no name, even like they felt about Harmon winning, Brian Harmon winning the Open. I mean, there's not enough sex appeal and eyeballs that want to casually watch golf. And they don't know who Grillo is. He's a superb golfer, but that's what the networks don't want.
Right. And Adam Schenck, I mean, he's
got the perfect name to join the Hack Nation.
And he,
my man Schenck,
he was at St. Pete Country Club years playing the New Year's Invitational. And we laughed because he was always on the leaderboard, never won it. But to have a name like that, and
he overcame a lot with a name like Schenck.
And he's on a very
Schenky very much.
Yeah. Hey, we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios. We just saw Clifford Smith pull a wonderful shot out of his yin yang, and we've got. Yeah. We've got
wonderful, Mapes, by the way.
We've got Mapes in the gang hanging.
Josh Lowe's home run this afternoon was wonderful.
Yes, it was.
Won the game.
Yeah. If you didn't get the score, of course, a sweep over the Colorado Rockies. Just coming back from Colorado, you have to admit that Coors Field is a spectacular place to watch a baseball game.
Yes, it is.
And that team absolutely blows it. And they're owned by the Montforts, which are the cattle people. And everybody on the planet in Colorado wants the Rockies sold. And
they all play like ranch hands, believe me.
Yeah, they do. Or cattle. Yeah. Mm. You know, don't open the door for McNally on any topic. He's our resident comedian.
That was a cow.
It's utterly ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I knew he was going there. Yo, Rager, where are you to support me? What, you coming down in a couple weeks? I pray to God to get this thing back on the rails.
Absolutely. Looking forward to coming down because we've got some great things coming up here. And one of them is our Monday night golf and football. It's called Shots and Squares. And everybody who likes to watch Monday night football, now you can play golf and watch Monday night football, root for your favorite team, and win because your favorite team helped you out. So September 11th here, we're looking forward to it. And everybody knows how to play squares, right? You know, you go in there. So we're going to have four quarters of winners. You're going to have four squares out there. Plus, we're going to have points based on your golf skills. And even if you don't have any golf skills, as long as you can putt, you can still be in this game. So Shots and Squares, 9-11-23, first Monday night football game. We're looking forward to it at Ferg's 19th hole clubhouse. And you just show up, too. And you have to pay for
it. I'm going to bring my own putter, too. That's the one thing I can do. And John just said, if you can putt, you can play.
You're going to bring Billy.
Absolutely. And it's sponsored by Mick Ultra. So you pay an entry fee. You get a Mick Ultra beer and an entry fee in there. And we're going to divvy up the pool a little bit to put a few Ben Franklins in your pocket. You can walk out of there.
I'm in.
Hopefully with enough money to pay your bar bill.
Well, we've got Monster, we've got Coca-Cola behind us, and we've got our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka and Michelob Ultra. They love this concept you came up with, John, and even Mark, who doesn't understand the game of golf, he's got this one figured out, and he's ecstatic. We'll make this a great party place on Monday nights down here, and you'll have to sneak away. You'll have to go three or four over and come on down on a Monday night there, Mr. McNally.
I'll do it.
Well, I don't want to be the demise of your happiness because of this production.
No, it's all good. Kara is very encouraging of me being a part of this motley crew.
When your wife encourages you to go out, the boys, you guys might want to sit down and evaluate things.
It's you she has questions about, Mike.
Exactly. Do not have her pull a file on me, please, or you'll all be off this show. You're not married, so you can still hang out with me.
Wow.
That's my man, Bill Butner. Hey, let's get caught up.
He's not talking to you. He's hanging with Patty.
Yeah. Why don't we do this while we're on the subject of the FedEx Cup? Let's go ahead and go around the table. We have five people at the table. And let's hear your prediction.
Oh, you're counting John up north.
Why would you not count John?
Well, you said around the table. He's sitting there with a stogie in his hand.
It's a metaphorical table.
He's got a ice pick vodka, and he's looking at the Atlantic Ocean.
I know he is. He's having a beer.
So the four guys that fought traffic, battled coming up the steps, and John Rager, who was doing his own Snoop Dogg commercial up there.
Important thing is you have to figure out the tide charts here, so you don't want to get set up too close to the edge of the ocean there because the tide could roll in on you. So I checked the tide chart before I set up the umbrella. Right?
John, are you...
That's okay, John. It's a superfood.
Exactly. Are you literally on the beach right now, or are you just kidding?
Well, right now, these are...
Don't the radio delivery.
What?
Seas are about 2 to 3 feet with a light chop out there right now. And,
okay, you are there. All right, so we'll begin with you. In 30 seconds, predict who's going to win the FedEx Cup and why. Go.
The tournament or the total?
The total. I don't care. The total. It's about the... What is it? 20 million now? Is it
18 million for the winner?
Okay, so go, John Rieger, you're up.
$39 million purse.
Who's going to win it?
Who's starting this one out?
You are.
Well, I'm going to go with Victor Hovland. He has found his short game this year. He just came off winning the BMW Championship with a 61 final round. He's all throughout the year at all the major championships. I remember on the Tee Florida, we talk about each major championship and who we think's going to win. And I know that I predicted one, and I know Mike came close to predicting one. But every time we started talking about who could win the major championship, I know Bill Butner, he always picked Victor Hovland. So what I got to do is jump out in front of Bill and pick Victor, because I think right now he's 2 under par for the day, but he got the start out at 8 under par in this tournament, so he wasn't that far back. And he's so consistent, he's tearing it up, so I'm going to go with the first PGA Tour winner from Norway, Victor Hovland.
All right, Bill, that was actually beautiful. John, that was 27 seconds, so well done, sir. Bill, you're up.
Well, I hate to do this. You're timing our response now?
Yeah, I mean,
Kicked off the show within 10 seconds.
Well, you're taking...
I'm glad it's my production, so nobody yanks.
You're taking a lot of BB's time right now.
It sounds like the presidential debate last night.
Oh, my God. Oh,
here we go.
No, don't go there.
Don't go there.
My God, this is entertaining.
Okay.
I was watching the Rays winning the 10th.
I'd rather watch it.
This is my time, my 30 seconds.
Oh, here we go.
I'm paying for this, Mike.
Where's the bell?
Okay.
You can take 30 minutes. You've been gone a while.
Well, thank you very much. I will have to agree with John. Victor Hovland is my man. I hate to piggyback on John, but he's a grinder. He doesn't quit. He's got it all together. I think Rory's hurt a little bit.
Yeah, he did something about his back when he was warming up.
Scottie Scheffler. Obviously, he's going to be there at the end, but I just got to go with Victor.
Well, the big Texan, Scottie Scheffler, has a statement to make this year because Rory got him last year. However, I guess I have a question for you, knowing this, and John as well. When you watch Victor Hovland, I remember following him when he's at Oklahoma State. I mean, I wonder if he gets excited about anything in life. He's got that same half smile. Composed, regardless of the outcome of a shot, and in his interviews, I mean, he's just a cool, calm, collected.
That's why they're picking him.
Well, exactly.
That's the name of the game.
And fresh off, isn't it, Bill? Fresh off of 61, he's got a lot of confidence.
That is truly what you're trained to do. You're trained to try and stay neutral.
But yeah, Mike, he'll wrap his forearm around a palm tree. Be cool.
Well, I'm not going to say that I haven't sometimes, but we didn't have palm trees in Iowa.
He makes a 2-foot putt, too. There's another.
I can't say I haven't done that.
Goes into his dance.
Yeah, exactly. So, Victor Hovland, cool, calm, and collected. All right, Mr. McNally, he's got Hovland. We'll just go around it.
All right, so here's my take on Hovland, and I'm a huge fan, and I would have voted for him if the two guys in front of me hadn't taken him, but I feel like he would be a fantastic Bond villain.
Bond villain?
A Bond villain.
With that constant half grin?
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of like this guy, just like...
He thinks like this. That's why I love it. Mix it up a little.
He could be petting the cat, you know?
So, Mr. Bond, do you think you will make this putt? I think not. Or the sharks with laser beams will shoot you in your putter.
Well, I guess that means, Kerry, that Tom Kim's going to be odd job then, if you're going to pick him.
Well, see, John, I teed that up for you, and you crushed it right down the middle. Absolutely. Who throws his shoe? Anyway, no, but That's another reference. But I'm gonna go with Rory because it'll be the first time anybody's back to back. He's put his back to the PGA Tour. He's taken a lot of flack.
I saw him have a chili dip on the first hole.
It's okay.
And the head injury.
That's something else entirely. That's what I'm rooting for. I think Hovland will probably do it. Scheffler, obviously. I mean, I don't know what tournament it is.
He's number one in the world.
I can't think of any amateur tournament where you show up and you're 10 under. Oh, yeah, that's the member guest. That's not important. What I'm saying is I'd like to see Rory win. Hovland's probably going to do it, but I'm also sort of pulling for Scheffler. And also because
Hovland is motor oil.
Hovland.
Okay. Hey, Gary, I want to tell you something, too, and we're not going to talk about this till the top of the second hour, but there is a connection between Rory McIlroy and On the Tee Florida, and we'll let everybody know in the second hour of this broadcast what that is.
That's called a tease, Mike. Learn how to do that.
Well, I know one already. I don't know if that's where John's going.
Cases.
Exactly. Right, so that's my chair. Tom Griffin is next. You're up, sir. Go for it.
Scheffler.
Wow.
One word, just the last name, Chalk. And he drops the mic.
Period.
Chalk.
Take it away, Mike.
Well, you just stole my thunder.
They took all my time.
Well, yeah, you hogged his time, you know.
They went on and on. We're talking about Rory's psychiatrist back.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey.
Marital issues.
I thought I'd get us back on track.
You know what I should do to protect the Hack Nation? I should go with Adam Shank for the Hacks.
That would be a great one for you.
Hey, he's only three off the pace.
Yep.
No, wait a minute.
Oh.
Shank is three off the pace. Just for my beloved Hack Nation, I know there's quite a few listening right now in Iowa. I'm taking Shank to shank his way to the top.
Shank you very much. Do you guys remember that moment in Tim Cup when he started shanking him on the driving range? That was awesome.
Of course I do.
Bringing it up, another cultural reference. Carry on.
He's playing up to the folks in Iowa. I know they're listening, so I'm going for Shank.
Hey, I know that there's a handful listening right now that have been listening to Mike Carcass since 2001. Means you have no life.
Carry more cow noises.
Who's Mike
Carcass? More cow noises, please.
That means you have no life. Okay, things are looking up here in the On the Tee 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. And we're live from Ferg's. Fresh off a ball game across the street. It was a 110 first pitch. Yankees come in town this week. And the Rockies were swept by our Tampa Bay Rays. How was the crowd over there, Bill?
It was sparse, but we made the most of it.
You're supposed to say it was a nice crowd, win.
It was a nice crowd. Both
of them were nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, John, were they serving Rocky Mountain oysters?
That's in Denver. Hey, John, how am I doing with that Scheffler pick? Is that all right?
Hey, I think that pick's pretty good. Because you know what happens, it's good that he actually has started out maybe a little rocky, because I think then he'll get it into gear, and he'll get to Sunday, he'll be on the last hole, have a 12-foot putt to win, he'll lip it out, and Victor Hovland will win the Tour Championship.
So here's a quick technical question for both Bill and John, who actually know how to play the game.
I know how to analyze it, so...
What's up with the flying right foot, and is that something that is atypical now, but was more prevalent maybe 20, 30 years ago?
Flying right foot?
Yeah, I mean, Scotty slides his right foot behind his left. Same thing that Greg Norman used to do.
That's what I do when I whip.
Well, you do that, you fall down.
Let's stop talking about your love life. Let's move on. This gentleman's going to do an analysis here.
But it definitely stops you from coming over the top. Obviously, he's trying to promote a left-to-right shot most of the time. And on his right to left shots are very unique because of overworking of his hands.
So right before or immediately after impact, he lifts up his right foot.
He slides.
To try and bring right the club around and affect a draw.
And behind the left foot.
Yes.
Like a bowler.
Into the mic, my friend.
I am trying to talk into the mic.
A bowler.
Like a bowler. Like a bowler?
Yeah, like a bowler who throws his left foot out behind him after he releases the bowling ball.
You throw your left hip out, you do the hokey pokey.
Turn yourself around. That's what it's all about, Mike.
Well, you know, one of the things, and I want to add to Bill's I want to add the Bill's analysis on that. If he took a high-speed camera and you looked at it, what makes Scotty do that and Greg Norman the same is they really move into their left side at impact. Okay, so a lot of times, especially modern golf, a lot of the legs are taken out of it these days, but Scotty has very active legs. But he doesn't slide that foot before impact. He hits it, then he kind of slides through it because he's so much into his left side. He pivots more out of his left hip. You know, if you did a weight analysis of impact, you know, he's got a lot more weight on his left side than most PGA Tour pros. And Greg Norman was the same. And so what happens is if you slide that foot, you can stay balanced. But sometimes it looks like a swivel hoist and he's getting ready to fall down. But he's actually in perfect balance most of the time.
You're listening on the Tee Florida, as I mentioned, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. Brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily, world-class home-style breakfast each and every day, 8 till noon. And then Shipyard Brewing, our good friend Fred Forsley, Charlie Breakiron over there, just do a superb job. And then, of course, I want to take a opportunity to thank Budweiser stepping up with the Michelob Ultra product, which is the beer of golfers these days. And I'm excited about that future as we explore. And our good friend Chris Lewis for assisting us there. We're going to have a lot of exciting events taking place up here. We are actually on our flagship 106.1 FM AM 1340. That's Tampa Clearwater St. Pete, along with WZHR FM 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350 Zephyr Hills, and WZHR 102.3 FM AM 1400. And we're up north by John Rager in Lake City and outside of the Gainesville area, WGRO AM 1250 and WDSR AM 1340. And one little bit of business, John, I don't know if you noticed that we've got our simulators, not stimulators. These are simulators. I heard this cat calling them.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
Because I knew you were going to run with it. But Clifford Smith says to me, I don't know who he's talking to, his wife or somebody. He goes, I'm up here with the stimulators.
Yeah.
Okie dokie, partner.
And a lot of people are watching.
Yeah. It's kind of nauseating, to be quite candid. Anyway, I'm trying to stay on point here today, believe it or not. But if you go to Ferg,
still hit it into the trees.
Exactly. I still whipped it.
And made a double bogey.
I still Adam shanked it. But we have a special going on right now. You rent 1 hour and you get a BOGO. So BOGO on the simulators, not the stimulators. Those are still the same price. And that will be for the balance of this week and next week. Yankees in town, so it'll be crazy down here this weekend. Even though they're in DL, I love to say that, when the Yankees are in dead last, but the fans will still come out.
I'll be invited to the game on Sunday. I'll drop by. It better to drop by before or after the game?
Before.
Okay, I'll come by before.
I'll buy you a beverage.
I'd like to hit a few.
John Rager, we stole your thunder, buddy. Are you still with us, or are you just sitting there gazing at the?
No, actually, I'm still with you. And you know, I was thinking of a good shank story. And Bill Butner, appreciate this. Years ago, when I first started the golf business, I was an assistant pro with a guy named Bill Calfee, who ran the what they call the Corn Ferry Tour down until he retired. But he played on the PGA Tour for, gosh, about 8-9 years. And Pat Lindsay. So they were, you know, we were assistant pros together at a little place called Babes the Harriers Golf Course. And I did all the work. All they would do is go disappear and hit balls and putt and chips. So that's probably why I became a club pro and they became a tour pro, because they were always messing with their game. But Pat Lindsay won the 1983 BC Open. And so like any tournament, he gets invited to Endicott, New York, come back every year for the BC Open. And it's been quite a while since he won the 83. I mean, it's probably 15 years later. He's well off the tour now, and he didn't even hardly play. He took up tennis. And he gets out there because he's past champion, so he gets invited. He gets on the practice range, and David Frost is right next to him. And Pat gets his first shot of the day to warm up on the practice range, and he shanks it and hits David Frost right in the rear end. And David Frost turns he turns over, and he goes, you actually won this tournament? And
you got to say it in South African. Come on.
Yeah. That's right. And, well, so anyway, so... So, you know, Shanks do happen, and happens to everybody. And if your name, last name is Shank, or at least phonetically sounds like Shank, that's pretty something. I know a club pro out in Texas. His name was Bob Putt. And so it's interesting to have a last name like that. Yeah, he was a teaching pro. I think he may have played the tour a little bit, but his last name was Putt. P-U-T-T.
I think maybe your name, John Driver, or something, you know, with some emphasis. Rager sounds.
Well, I mean, there's been a few people out there like Harry Hook and Sam Slice and you know, and now you got Adam Shank.
Now, Bill Buttner, you probably played with David Frost in that gang, didn't you?
Oh, very much so. We started together in '83, I believe, with the Monday qualifiers, and we became close as families.
You know, one thing, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. One of the things I want to do is, instead of treating you like one of the hosts, like we're doing an interview, I want you to give us kind of a play-by-play of your career and your favorite tracks to play on and finishes a little bit. People keep asking me questions whether your bio is legit, and I said, are you kidding me?
So you want to put these people to sleep.
This guy's got his own card.
That's true. I do.
Yeah. People want to hear that kind of information.
It makes us all look good, Bill.
Exactly. It does. We're hanging out with a PGA.
We need you for legitimacy.
We got to act. We're right there with you. You know what I mean?
For marketing purposes. Yeah. Two pros in the heck, and I got a guy that played for 15 years on the PGA.
Yeah.
I don't tell him who we are.
Bob Slice and Joe Hook and, you know, Steve Mulligan.
Yeah. Good friends of Adam Shanks.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break here on the T Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. We are watching some shankers ourselves right now on the upper.
Wait, hey.
Whoa.
Radio. Hold on.
He's injured. He's injured.
We'll be back on the T Florida.
You can't do that
live on the radio. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida. I got Bill Buttner and, of course, John Rager, two pros in the hack. I'm the head of the Hack Nation. And Gary McNally, our resident entertainer and comedian, videographer.
Feather Sound Country Club. That's it. That's my plug.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. And of course, St. Pete's most interesting man, Tom Gribben, joining us today as we return to the airwaves after a week off.
I think it's Tampa Bay's most interesting.
Tampa Bay's.
I think so.
Yeah, now that Brady's gone. Yeah.
I mean, I can't find that many fascinating people over in.
So John, let's go back. Let's go to Bill Buttner's career.
Yeah, here we go.
And your favorite track to play on the tour.
obviously Pebble Beach stands out as we used to play Pebble, Spyglass, and Cypress Point. So you couldn't beat those for absolute beauty. But for golf, Butler National stands out up in Chicago. Phenomenal track.
Hey.
Is that private or public? Can anybody play that or private?
Big on private.
Okay, good. All right.
Now, Pebble, I know it's beautiful, but is it fun to play? I've never played.
It's fun to watch.
Every time I hear my friends who play it, just say it's murder.
I think,
they enjoy it. They say it's beautiful, but
it's beautiful. It's just not that dynamic golf.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Especially, and the greens are tiny.
Greens are tiny. And obviously the date of the length of the golf course has changed, so it's a smaller golf course now.
So tell us about Butler. Why is it so great?
It's traditional. It's through the trees. It's got difficulty all over the place. Par threes over water, finishing holes to die for. And the Western Open did a great job of running the tournament. I mean, obviously that does help a lot where you have a well-run event. Pebble was tough because you always had to take a shuttle out to the range. You had to take a shuttle down.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
There were shuttles.
You guys all stay at the inn at Spanish Bay, or that wasn't built yet at that point, was it?
No. Yeah. We were all staying outside the gate.
Gotcha.
Back in.
Okay, what was your final year on the tour? Who was ranked number one in the world?
Probably Greg Norman. 91 was my last year.
Yeah, that would have been correct, yep.
I think Greg was at the highest.
You spent some time with him? What kind of a guy is he, in your opinion?
This is what... He's got a very high ego.
Yeah, I can see that.
He married... he married a girl, a flight attendant from American Airlines.
Oh,
back in the day,
he hung around with Bill Clinton.
He did that too. But I knew through his wife, who I knew, I got to know Greg a little bit. And okay. Greg and I played at Innisbrook, and that event it was the mixed team event that he got out of. So we played at Innisbrook as a charity event. John Houston, myself, Jay Overton, and Greg.
And back to you now. Back to you. Let's get back to your career. Greatest moment of your entire career.
Oh, wow. Oh, greatest moment.
Being invited to be on the T Florida every week. Just a reach.
Hey, well, you know what? Let me help you along here, Bill. I'm just, as I pull up your stats on the PJTour.com, talking about five top 10 finishes, you played in five U.S. Opens. It's hard as heck to even play in one U.S. Open. Tell us about your U.S. Open experiences.
Yeah, the U.S. Open was special. Obviously, you had to qualify to qualify to qualify, so it was always an excitement there to get to the tournament.
I bet, yeah.
And to get to those tournaments and the practice rounds were intense. It was phenomenal venues. We had... Medina, had Olympic, had Baltusrol.
That's amazing.
That's a good one. Oakmont.
Yeah.
So we had a whole, you know, obviously these golf courses die for.
Oh, yeah.
The conditions were as hard as could be. Rough up there, green speeds up. But
and best finish in the U.S. Opens?
MC. Missed cut.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I missed a cut at Medina by going... bogey, par, double bogey, bogey, and missing the cut by a shot.
Oh, that's got to be tough.
When Curtis Strange gets it up and down out of the bunker to eliminate
to move the top 10. Move the number, yeah.
Yeah, the number. So if he doesn't get it up and down, I make the cut, but I shot myself in the foot.
But that's still a beautiful thing that you played there and you were in it. And the fact that you sat at this table and you said, best moment, missed the cut. Hey,
you know, Bill, I got a question for you here, because, you know, when you play in a tournament like that, obviously it's special just to be able to play. And but if you miss the cut, you still have your player's badge and the stat. Yeah, that you hang around a little bit and have a good time, at least watch the tournament or hang in the locker room or get some free food or anything.
You were not allowed to go back on the tee, you know, the practice tee or anything like that. So, no, you left fairly quickly.
You couldn't stick around and watch for the next 2 days if you wanted?
You could watch, but there was another tournament the next week, don't forget. So.
Oh, and you're driving.
You're driving or flying or getting ready for the next event.
Gotcha.
So they pick you up in a limo and you leave in a bus.
I rented a car to get to the tournament and turned it in as I left.
It's amazing.
You didn't trash the locker room, though, did you?
I did not trash the locker rooms. Were special.
But Bill, no one will ever be able to take that away from you.
No,
You've had an amazing playing career. Now you've had this incredible coaching career that continues now at SPCC. You found something that you love, and you've been able to make a very comfortable living doing it.
Yeah, it's been special. Obviously, memories, people.
Yeah.
We're on to all great.
Okay. A non-golf celebrity that the great game of golf has put you in contact with. You got to spend some time with someone that that's listening right now during drive time that doesn't care about the golf piece of it, but maybe you've played with somebody interesting.
Well, Vic Damone. I mean, these are old
Vic
people.
Damone.
Vic Damone.
That's
Damone.
A name Damone. From the past.
Is that the shark?
Vic line? Damone. Didn't he come out? No. Didn't he have that album, Autumn Leaves, out there? Vic Damone?
Oh, Autumn
Lake. Wow.
Gotcha.
And he was married to Diane Carroll at the time.
Oh, Diane Carroll.
And Diane Carroll showed up on the 17th tee with a fur coat.
Oh, I bet she did. Yeah.
Just
the fur coat.
Just a fur coat.
That's what's going on in my mind right now.
Yeah. There you go. Obviously, Lawrence Taylor, but played with him.
Oh, cool. How was that?
Well, obviously, a North Carolina legend. You got to love it.
Yeah.
You couldn't get any better than that.
Did he have the stogie out and...
He was kind of on his best behavior at that point in time.
Oh, was that during that period?
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
It was
in between arrests.
He stayed away from St. Pete and the beaches.
Yeah.
Vic Damone. There's one from the past. And what do you mean, Mac the Knife?
Bobby I don't know. Darin. I thought that was Vic Damone. Who's saying
that's
Mac
Bobby Darin.
Bobby Darin. John, one of the greatest songs of all time. Did you ever see Steve Martin's rendition of it on Saturday Night Live, When the Shark Bites? Yeah. Classic Steve Martin.
All right, so back to Bill's career. All right. Now, finally, my last question would be, what was more satisfying, playing or coaching?
Playing has its own set of issues. Obviously, you're trying to make money enough to live, and the money wasn't that good at that time, so that was a big time stress. But coaching runs into really helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a sponsor of any sort?
Yeah, I had Titleist, TaylorMade, Ping.
That's for the equipment, but do you get a stipend from them, you know, for travel, things like that?
It was more an incentive program, so you had points you would earn through the year or something, and they'd divide the points up, and it was hundreds of dollars. It wasn't.
You got any of that old swag that we could maybe hang up in here?
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
Hang me up there. On the boat sweater.
You'll be here weekly.
Your white V-neck Mike. With the red collar.
Yeah, you got there you go.
Right? Mike going for the swag.
Yeah.
Or the dickie. Remember the dickie?
Mike is always looking for the. Wait, what's in the what's in the swag bag? What's going on there?
I just gave you some swag.
I appreciate it.
He wants the Payne Stewart hat.
That doesn't have any value, does it?
I'm sure it does.
Enormous value.
Yeah.
Do you remember who won those U.S. Opens? You just mentioned Kurt Strange.
One. Larry Nelson won.
Had Larry Nelson on the show up in Iowa when he was at the Champions event. Great guy.
Great guy.
Huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
And how was Curtis Strange? I met him one time. He seemed like a really great guy. Was he or no?
No.
No, he's not saying anything. That must be bad.
I will tell you my Curtis Strange story.
I have plenty of Curtis Strange stories.
And I wanted to say that I can say it. You can't. But we're going to have the growler, Lynn Strickler, on today. He went over to the game and got busy. But and John knows this. Rager was on Strange's bag for a short period of time. He's a Vietnam vet. He ranked number in the top 36 greatest caddies in the world. And he lives in Clearwater. It's been on, you know, numerous times for John and I and myself. He goes to all the Rays games. Anyway, he was on Greg Norman's bag, the British Open, when he was married to Chris Everett. And he lost his caddy, Norman, and he just picked up the growler and threw him on a jet with Chrissy to go across the pond. He tells some interesting stories, which I won't share. But he was talking about guys that... you know, he didn't particularly care for. We'll say it like that.
Say it like that.
He said, I was hired 16 times and fired 16 times. He's very close to Ben Crenshaw, who he was on his back for some period of time. But he said, Curtis Strange, out of all of them, his worst experience, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I started college because he was at Wake Forest as a junior when I was a freshman, and we ended up, because of the first-round scores, I got paired with him. So we're playing in a threesome. I go to the tee to get your scorecard, meet the player.
And you're a rookie.
I am a freshman. I'm fresh, and I probably shot 60-something, 69-something.
Wow.
Out of my shoes, whatever. Yep. But I got paired with Curtis, and we get to the tee, and I introduce myself to the third gentleman, who I don't remember who it was. And by the time I shook his hand, Curtis hit it. And he just hit it down the fairway, and like, okay, what are we supposed to do now? And like, we decided, okay, why don't you go next? So I get up on the tee, and I look down the fairway, and there's somebody walking in front of me. And lo and behold, Curtis was 30 yards down the fairway.
Wow.
Before I hit.
What a hole.
And
well, at least you had a target.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There you go.
Was he assuming that since he was in the middle of the fairway, you couldn't possibly hit him?
No, that was not the case.
Oh, he was just like, I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm moving on.
Really didn't talk to him the whole
day.
And ironically, towards the
end
of his career, we were playing at Pleasant Valley up in Massachusetts. And we're standing there because we had to. We're in the fourth day. He didn't want to be there. We're not in contention.
You're not in a hunt.
We're just standing there, and all of a sudden we get held up in the fairway. Both bags are sitting there, and he actually, this is at the end of his career, looked at me and said, Bill, where did you go to college? And I said, I went to North Carolina. Curtis, where did you go to college?
You said that to him?
Oh, I said that. Beautiful. I mean, I couldn't let him get away with that. And, you know, he has no recollection of, you know, a lot of things that happened.
Well, because he's a narcissist, mm-hmm. and it's all about Curtis Strange. And the growler basically tells it like it is. I'm surprised the growler's not one of those famous ones, John Rager, that's just walked off the bag, because that's the kind of temperament he has. And the reason they call him the growler, it's comparable to Stevie Williams back in the day with Tiger.
Well, here's a great question.
The growler would go, if somebody in the crowd is causing issues, he's a little gruff, we'll just say it like that.
Yeah. So, Bill, back to your career. Did you ever see that? Did that ever happen? Did you ever see like a really hellacious fight between a player and a caddy?
Oh, absolutely.
Where the caddy just like drops the bag and says, good luck?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, numerous times.
And again, back when I was playing, it was not enough money to really have a career as a caddy. And a lot of these people were week-to-week people, and they just said, you know, I don't need this. I'm here.
He'll get the growl on next week when he hasn't watched a ball game. And he'll tell some interesting stories. And
that sounds like a great idea.
And John's heard him. And I love all the stories because he's got some guys that he loved, you know, Ben Crenshaw. And he absolutely adores the guy.
I bet you John Rager has some stories too, huh?
Of course he does.
Well, you know, it is interesting. It can get pretty tense out there. I know when I was 16 years old, I played in my first U.S. Open qualifying, and a good friend of mine, Tom McCrary, a few years older, and he played in front of me, and we're on the eighth hole. I think it was down at Gator Creek, down in Sarasota, and or Bet Creek, Gator Creek. I think it was Gator Creek, and I remember I'm standing on the tee, so I'm wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, and, you know, gosh, I'm playing in the U.S. Open qualifier. It's a pretty big deal for me at 16, and I look on the green. I see my friend Tom up there, and I see this other golfer. His name was Cowboy. You know, Cowboy's a big, heavy-set African-American gentleman, had a cowboy hat, and Cowboy pulls out a gun. I could see him pull out a gun and point it right at Tom. And Tom is, like, right in his face. And I thought, wow, this is big league here. I wonder what's going to happen here. You know, I'm like, wow, I mean. And so things settle down. Cowboy puts his gun away. They tee off on the ninth hole. And they play it just like normal. Nothing ever happened. And you didn't have cell phones in those days. But when they walked off the ninth green, somehow the sheriff was right there, arrested Cowboy for, you know, armed assault. And I thought, wow, I guess this happens all the time. And I was paired with a guy named Tom Windrow. And Tom was one of the national long drive champions early on. This guy had forearms the size of my thighs. This guy was like 6'5". He weighed
Hal Sutton, Popeye.
He's bigger than Hal Sutton, and he would take 5-iron off the tee because he couldn't keep it. Yeah, he'd either hit it off the course or down the middle. So he played with a 5-iron all day. He was blown at 50 yards by me with a 5-iron off the tee. tee. I'm thinking, wow, this is what pro golf's all about.
Well, fortunately, it's not with guns, but it's definitely high pressure, yeah.
And whatever he said to Cowboy on the green, I guess he didn't say it again.
That sounds like one of your songs, The Cowboy on the Green.
Yeah.
He's holding the gun.
Maybe you should write a song for the show. I like this idea. A jingle. Cowboy on the Green. What do you think?
Something for on the tee. Yeah, let me think about that.
I'm serious.
Yeah, and if you guys aren't familiar with Tom Gribben's work as the lead guy and patriarch of the Saltwater Cowboys, just Google that stuff. His songs are absolutely amazing. He's an American treasure. He's played with everybody. He's played all the big venues, and now he's written a book, The Last Florida Boy. You should check that out. You should read that. It's going to become a movie. I need
another copy, by the way. I took mine to Colorado for my son.
No problem.
Yeah.
$14.95.
Never written a golf song, though. I'm gonna have to, you know what? That's a good idea.
Yeah, or at least our intro music, something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I wrote a rap back in the early 90s, and it was called Three Putt. It was like drive for show, but you putt for dough. You got to drive for show, but you got to putt for dough, Three Putt.
Not happening. Putt.
Wow.
Well, maybe. Don't
give up your day job, Kerry, on that one.
The beats, man. I mean, the lyrics are fun. We got to get the beats now, Kerry.
I specifically crashed and burned for all of your benefits.
Maybe one rejoin.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what the feedback's like. And
everybody wants to be a rock star.
Before we go, it's the top of the hour. I got to go.
I
got to pick up my stepson. But before we go, Feather Sound Country Club, I'm officially there now. As part of that family, helping run things at Feather Sound Country Club, and I'm honored to be a part of it. Dale Schmidt and his lovely wife Sherry have put a lot of money, a lot of time, effort, and love into that clubhouse, but most importantly, the golf course. The golf course is world class. So I want to officially invite the On the Tee Florida team to come as my guests to play that golf course the way it is now. And
including me,
you want to go to jail?
I think you could probably just hang in the cart and provide.
I think he can jump in the pool with the caddies if he mentions your name.
That's it. So I'm doing a lot of the marketing stuff and all the sales.
Moisty, I got invited to a country club.
We're gonna broadcast the show from there at some point.
Oh, that'd be great.
And one of the things I actually this is an idea that I had is I want to recreate the synchronized swimming scene from Caddyshack with the cast from On the Tee Florida.
I thought about that when I was in Cherry Hills.
And I have a choreographer. My wife was a synchronized swimmer for Great Britain, an Olympic. On the Great Britain Olympic team.
This is a TikTok video that's going to see a million views.
He brought us our cart girl. Now he's bringing his lovely bride, who I've met.
She won. You got a gold medal at the World Cup in Japan. Wow. And synchronized swimmer. We'll recreate it.
I love this idea. It's a great.
Hey, Kerry, I got to give you a heads up though, because we're on the first tee teeing it up, you know, we have to mark our balls. Bill will obviously have like a Titleist one with two dots on it. And if you ask what Mike's going to be playing, he says his ball's marked too. His ball says P-R-A-C-T-I-C-E. That's the marking on his ball when he plays the Feather Sound. So hide the range balls.
Hey, as bad as I am in golf, I would take a bucket of range balls.
Yeah, the big the ones with the stripes around them. Yeah, that's
the like the red stripe.
When I first mentioned range balls to Mike, I said, Range. It's a new golf. It's a new ball. It's a French. Yeah. Range. Yeah. And I'm like, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
You can hit those in Iowa.
My birthday's coming up. If you wouldn't mind getting me
a sleeve of Range's. Range's.
my attire's from GW. Goodwill with my Range's. I'll be perfect for the country club. All right, we'll be back for hour number two live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.